101.1 FM.
Current events.
Personal values.
Political and social issues.
Technology. Wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs. Open your eyes. Read between the lines of what you see. Look into the soul of reality. Open your mind. Look at the sign. Never look back at yesterday. Keep your gaze steady on the narrow way.
Russia and Iran find a new way to be friends. China comes sightseeing to America, and people are gaining sight to the truth of that thing people have been putting in their arms. That's just some of the articles we're going to discuss as we look at the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecy that we find in the world's news for Friday, February 3rd, 2023. Wherever you get your podcasts, well, you can get us too. We list those sources at thewaymedia.net, or you can listen right from the source when you download the Way Media app to watch the episodes, ask prophecy questions, and read the articles that we discuss. And now, here to tell us how the physical and spiritual worlds are on a collision course is Pastor Mark, who was a sought-after person in his younger days. Why, at one job, he asked his boss for a raise because three companies were after him. His boss asked him which ones, to which he replied, gas, water, and electric.
That's not, I thought he was going to say something to do with legal. I mean, police. I'm like, yeah, he's like three different squad cars chasing me down the road. That one I could definitely associate with. That's good. That's funny, Greg. That's good.
Oh,
I love it. I love it.
Listen, this is a little bit of interesting, and we're going to put a biblical spiritual spin on this. On this day in 1943, a torpedo struck the warship Dorchester with over 900 men on board. Mm. As the survivors abandoned the ship, four chaplains who were on the ship comforted and preached to the men. These chaplains ultimately sacrificed their lives by giving up their life jackets.
Wow. Wow.
And I was just kind of thinking about John 15:13, greater love than no one has than this, than he gives up his life for his
friends.
I think
I remember hearing about that. That's really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that rings just a bell. Yeah. I'd never heard of that before, but I thought that was worth mentioning in a day when people are so focused on self. Yeah. That was a very selfless act, and they knew that they were going, what it was going to cost them, you know. And I think about Jesus, you know, he knew what he did,
That's right.
It was going to cost him, but what was going to be gained through what he did.
Worship on a warship.
Worship on a warship.
Yep.
So anyway, glad to have you.
Good to be here.
Great to have
didn't
you.
Didn't know I was had.
Otherwise,
didn't
I'd be doing something
had,
else right
but
now.
But I've been had. I just learned.
I'd be doing something else right now if that wasn't for that. Okay. All right, let's get to some Ezekiel 38 and 39 news, which our biblical reference is, of course, Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Right.
How about that?
Yep.
This is from Reuters. Iran and Russia are now linking banking systems amid the Western sanctions. Listen, bad guys are always going to find a way around the law, so
they
to speak.
Are. Well, and not only around the law, but it's the linking up of the two finding the way around the law. Again, we're looking for Iran and Russia to link up, and now we're seeing greater ties in Iran and Russia through the banking system. Again, two things are happening. They're linking up more as nations. They're also getting around some of the ways that have been they've been held back by other nations. Iran and Russia have connected in their interbank communication and transfer system to help boost trade and financial transactions, a senior Iranian official said on Monday, as both Tehran and Moscow are chafing under Western sanctions. What's happening is, since 2018, the reimposition of U.S. sanctions on Iran after Washington ditched Tehran's 2015 nuclear deal with world powers, the Islamic Republic has been disconnected from the Belgian-based SWIFT financial messaging service, which is a key international banking access point. Let me explain this. SWIFT basically is a way that you can transfer monies internationally with different monies. It does it for you, and you just transfer your monies. You buy different things from different countries. You do trade. You do commerce, et cetera. And if you shut somebody down from that, Greg, that really isolates your nation. Well, we shut them down. Well, so what Russia's doing is, because now they've been shut down, well, you know what? Join us. We'll get you all the money you need. We'll work together to get money we need apart from SWIFT. And so, you know, it's not just a financial way around their penalties for what they're doing worldwide, but it's also a further unifying of Russia and Iran, which again leads right into Ezekiel 38 and 39. So it's one of those things where you're watching greater alliances form and greater connections being made, and it makes more and more sense. By the way, this is not in our stack. I've got to say it, though, real quick.
Please do.
Israel just is making deals right now with Sudan. They're linking up and shaking hands and all this, which is very interesting because Sudan is one of those who will betray them when Russia and Iran comes in. Sudan will join with Russia and Iran and all those others in Ethiopia in attacking Israel. And right now they're smiling real big with a handshake. It's almost like God has shown us the betrayer, but they wouldn't listen to us if we told them. But we can see, oh, you're shaking hands with Judas there, but good luck on that one. And they're making deals now with Sudan, and Sudan will turn on them. So it's interesting to watch all this begin to happen, and even the enemy with his fakeness coming to the forefront.
Yeah, I think we talked about this one time, that the Jews, for some reason, ignore everything in the book of Ezekiel past chapter 37.
Yeah,
the 37, they cling to. As a matter of fact, 37 is etched in things over there in Israel because it talks about the dry bones coming back to life.
Right.
But 38 and on, they pretty much they don't talk about it.
Yeah, you're right. And well, it's almost like with Daniel, you know, they kind of avoid Daniel as well. The things that don't really go in line with what they want to see, they don't pay attention to.
Yeah, but yet they've got the answers. They've got the list of the countries that are going to come against them.
Yeah.
We don't need to say anything to them. They've got it in their own Torah.
No, you talk about a built-in spy agency. God's word is a built-in spy agency in all these nations. Yeah. He doesn't give us all the details,
but if you look at
God's word, he has spies on the inside telling you what's going to happen, who's doing it. I don't care how big they smile and how warm the handshake is. You can figure it out if you know God's word in many ways, and they should be waking up.
Yeah, you would hope. You would hope.
Yes.
All right, let's come back to America for a few moments, because we've got some articles to discuss here. The first one is from AP News. Concerns over prayer breakfast lead to Congress to take it over. I thought the concern was Congress trying to pray, or that we needed to have someone else come in there and pray. What's this all about?
Well, this is interesting because, again, what they have is every year we've had for many years this prayer breakfast, and it honors God. And there's been private agencies.
It's supposed to.
Exactly. But they don't. There's a group of people there who don't like the fact that it honors God. And they're trying to take control of it so it can now be. Well, let me just read the article. The National Prayer Breakfast, one of the most visible and longstanding events that brings religion and politics together in Washington, is splitting from the private religious group that had overseen it for decades due to concerns the gathering had become too divisive. And why too divisive? Jesus Christ, basically. That's why it's divisive. Light and dark. The organizer, but they'll lay it out. The organizer and host for this year's breakfast, scheduled for Thursday, will be National Prayer Breakfast Foundation, headed by former Senator Mark Pryor, a Democrat from Arkansas. Also, Senator Chris Coons, another Democrat, a regular participant and chairman of the Senate Ethics Committee, said the move was prompted in part by concerns in recent years that members of Congress did not know how important details about the larger multi-day gathering. Here's the bottom line, Greg. They're concerned because you're not honoring everybody at this prayer breakfast, and you can't honor those that
inclusive.
Are in sin. You can't honor those that are in sin before God. So there are Democrats taking it over, saying we want to get it to where we honor everybody before God. And so they're trying to basically take God completely out of the last few places where God is in Washington. And again, we know they're going to be able to do that unless somebody fights against it. But it just shows the spiritual battle and the wickedness of man. It's amazing.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing to me when you think about all of these things that we've chronicled over the years, we've seen for ourselves without this show.
Right.
In terms of the
How do you do it without this show?
You know, I don't remember.
No, it's got to be the show. It has to be in the show. But go ahead. Go on. I hear your
show.
Point. Yes.
Yeah. The show's always been. The show always was,
that's
will
right.
be,
that's,
something
oh
like
my
that.
Goodness. Yeah,
we don't want to go there.
I'm being silly.
Anyway, my point is that, now I lost my point.
Well,
because you derailed me.
Well, we've been watching over the years, these things change in Washington. We've been seeing these things like this.
Thank you.
I think that's where you were going.
Yes. Here's what amazes me. in all of this, that they have not come after the currency where it says, in God we trust.
Well, they have come after this, haven't been able to do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they've come after it.
Okay. I'm surprised that hasn't been successful.
Well, I think the reason being is that if it said in Jesus we trust, you'd have a big fight on your hands. But God can be anything in Washington.
That's
God
true.
Can be Buddha, can be Krishna, can be Islam. It could be their power. Allah, it could be anything. Yeah. So when you say in God we trust, it's not as offensive to them because they can say, well, it's my God. In my God I trust, which could be myself, money, right. cars, any other religious group. But if you were to say in Jesus we trust, oh man, I mean, you talk about the house coming down, mm-hmm. the house and Senate would come down. So that's your issue there.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm expecting that to happen sooner rather than later, so we'll see. All right, well, let's go back to the 60s in the fifth dimension. Because it feels like we're going back
in time. It is. Go ahead.
It's a beautiful song.
It is.
I really don't know what it's about other than flying away in your beautiful balloon.
Yes.
China would like to give us a ride in their balloon.
Yes.
By the way.
Yes.
I'd like to know what's in the balloon.
You know,
we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because Fox News is letting us know that China has launched an investigation.
Yeah, right.
into their own suspected spy balloon flying over the U.S.
Yeah.
I guess if you're listening to the news at the before the show here on WIAM, they said that it was a weather balloon that somehow just got blown off track.
Yeah, now what they're saying, though, with close-ups, they actually see Xi Jinping waving. They say it's a tourist thing. He's up there waving as he goes over, and all this kind of a tourist thing. He's seeing America for the first time. Yeah, and little crowds are gathering down below, and they're waving flags, red flags.
Did you get that from the Babylon Bee?
That sounds like
something from the Babylon Bee. That's fantastic.
That's the Mark Bee or whatever.
Mark Bee, yes.
Wannabe. That's from the Wannabe.
And before you get into this, Pastor Mark is the Wannabe. You referenced a scripture verse here, Pastor Mark, that I don't remember us ever referencing before, and that's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19.
Yes.
That you've tied to this particular story.
Yes.
So if you can also weave that into your presentation.
Yes, I will. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 4, 7, first of all, let's read the article.
Yeah,
Chinese
sure.
launches the investigation. It's a spy balloon. This is unbelievable to me. We're gonna have rant and rave. We're gonna take the show over a little bit here. Mark and Greg are taking a break, and rant and rave will be in here. And I'm gonna be rant for just a minute here.
Okay.
This is the most unbelievably ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. That balloon should have been shot down days ago when it first appeared. It should have never made it to U.S. airspace.
Right.
Boom, it's done, and we're over with. So we'll talk for a minute why the reasons it should be shot down. I mean, why it's not being. But let me say this. The reason they're giving, Greg, is so fake and bogus that it's not shooting it down. They say, oh, it may land on something down there to hurt something. That is the most ridiculous reason. That
it's would be the like least saying, populated it, area
it would,
in the country.
It would be like saying, look, there's an enemy airplane flying over America that is ready to attack, and we don't want to shoot it down because it may cause harm. Look, this is a spy satellite gathering information on our nation, and it needs to be taken out immediately. All you'd have to do is say, look, we're going to shoot this thing down. It's going to fall in some state. We know it's got a region here of 1,000 miles or whatever. We want everybody to, over the next hour as it falls, to go into your home, go to your basement, guard yourself, put out warnings. It's going to be dropping so you won't get hurt. If it hits someone's home, if it hits someone's business, if it hits someone's car, whatever the case might be, the federal government will buy you a new one or fix it. But this is too important for national security to allow Xi Jinping waving at America to fly over on his tourist trip across America, finding out where can I send my missiles when I land, because they may be dropping. All kinds of they're saying detection devices of different areas. They said the trajectory is being controlled by China, and right now is scheduled to go over naval bases.
Aren't they?
It's unbelievable, Greg. This is unbelievable how blind we are.
Wouldn't they be destroying their own farmland?
Well, that's the thing is, I was thinking, where'd this thing come from? I thought it must have come from America, or how else did it get so close to the same? Now, they brought it in from overseas or whatever, and apparently these things can travel a long way. But my point is, look, if we don't make a strong stand, I mean, we're showing how weak we are. Greg, we are Samson with his hair cut off. We think we can still pick up gates and carry him for miles and fight off the Philistines. We're showing right now we are weak, and we are in big trouble. We need to move. We should have moved days ago. This thing shouldn't go a second more. It should be exploded in a big fireball. A video should be sent to Xi Jinping saying, if you ever get near us, we'll destroy anything you put near us. And this is, I can't stand it. It drives me nuts. But there's my rant. Toad's going to rant and rave.
Okay.
But I have some more rant to do.
Oh, fantastic.
And that is, again, something's going on here. Because you can't tell me all we're doing is watching it. Somebody's allowing this to happen. There's some reason. I do not believe they're afraid it'll land on somebody's house. And I don't know if there's information somebody has on some government officials in our country that they're going to reveal if we don't tell the truth, or if we knock them out of the sky, or if there's, is there blackmail going on? Is there, I don't know, but I know this. We are weak, weak, weak if we don't take action immediately.
Well, I liked your idea. Is that through back channels, you know, the U.S. has already contacted China and said, hey, you know, we're going to shoot down your balloon. And China's potential reply is a reason why the balloon is still up there is the fact, well, if you do, it's loaded with nuclear weapons and you're just going to cause destruction.
No, we're not saying they said that.
No, we are saying that. That could be a plausible reason as to why our government is allowing this balloon to continue because of the threat that the balloon could be carrying nuclear weapons.
And let me clarify, nobody, not China, not America, no one has suggested there's any nuclear weapon on board. What we're talking about is like it would be very easy, depending on whether or not those balloons can hold that kind of weight. I don't know if that's even scientifically possible.
Do not know.
But they said
the balloon's the size of three buses.
But here's the thing. If you did put some type of nuclear device on it and release it over the nation to spy on us, all you'd have to say is, you shoot it down, wherever it drops, that thing goes off. And here's the other thing. So if that was the case, again, I don't want to create conspiracy theories, but I'm saying we don't know what's going on. But Greg, this thing needs to be stopped right away.
And you want to know what? Nowadays, all you have to do is just have the threat of something, and nobody has any critical thinking anyway.
Yes.
So like what you were just proposing was like, well, could a balloon really carry a nuclear weapon?
Could it even carry it? I don't know scientifically if it could.
But the question is that how big of a weapon could it carry?
Yeah.
And how much damage would it do?
Yeah.
And is anyone thinking about that? But if the threat was just made that it had it, that would be enough to shut everybody down.
And I know that Xi Jinping listens each week. And what I don't want to do is give him ideas. So maybe I shouldn't even.
I was hoping that he would submit a prophecy question.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got this back and forth with Xi Jinping Pong. We go back and forth. He emails me. The point is that, look, this, we don't know what's going on, but something to me is very fishy. And if they did, Greg, how ingenious. If it could carry some kind of device, and you said, if you shoot it down, we'll explode it. Well, then all you do, they're driving it. China's driving it right now electronically, they said. They're going to be driving it over naval bases. All you have to do is take it over Washington. If there's something in it, release it. Washington's done. I'm not saying it's even possible. Some of you guys that are out there and know more about this are probably going, this is ridiculous. It's impossible. I'm not saying it's possible. I'm not saying it's even happening. I'm saying, here's the bottom line. That thing needs to come down yesterday.
Yes.
No more watching it. It's on the news like Santa. Santa's over Texas. He's heading to Tennessee. We have Xi Jinping. He's flying now over Texas. He's almost to Washington, kids. Everybody get in your bunkers
because
Santa's coming to drop his present. I mean, I'm like, what is going on?
For the good little girls and boys.
Unbelievable. I'm just, you know, if you didn't know God was in control and on the throne, you would lose your mind. Jesus Christ is on the throne, so everybody, we can rest. But this kind of stuff drives me bananas.
Yes. Well, let's slip and slide on the banana peel into God's word, Pastor Mark, and share Ephesians chapter 4. Or did you already read
this?
Yes,
4:17.
17 through 19.
Yes, listen to what it says. For it says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of your mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. In other words, we are so blind that we can't even see when the enemy flies over your nation, take them out. Don't follow it like Santa. Don't give updates. Don't tell people that it's a weather balloon. Take it out. That's what I'm saying. Ephesians comes in. I'm not saying this. There's not a scriptural reference to that. I'm saying the idea is that when people become blind, Greg,
absolutely,
they are blind.
They are blind.
And now that's rant and rave. I have those moments that I've been ranting and raving about this all day. It drives me nuts. Anyway.
Well, here's something that will drive you unnuts. Actually, this could probably be in our good news category because I love this. You know, what the enemy intended for evil, God can use for good. Fox News, Barna survey finds a spiritual hunger out there because the pandemic has left many Americans more open to God.
Yes, this is a Barna burner. I love it. Listen to this. 80% of those surveyed believe there's a spiritual or supernatural dimension to the world. A recent study showed that many Americans are more open to God and desire spiritual growth in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. This is great news.
Yeah.
A report released by the faith-based research organization Barna Group earlier this month found that 44% of adults in the U.S. are more open to God because of the pandemic, Among 2,000 adults, the group surveyed October 21st through 31st, 77% said they believe in a higher power, 74% they want to go spiritually. Now, again, let me just make a comment about this. The higher power thing, typically, that doesn't impress me. At least it's getting people to look toward heaven. But as I've said many times before, my car is a higher power. My washing machine's a higher power. I can't sit there and wiggle like that with clothes in me for that long and not get tired. So higher power doesn't impress me. Jesus Christ impressed me.
Yes.
But what's good about this, Greg, is God allows these things to happen to drive people to him. Again, in Psalm 119:67, which is my reference there, you know, David said, before the Lord afflicted me, I went astray. But now that he's afflicted me, see, I'm drawing into God. So God will allow the afflictions to come upon us individually. God will allow afflictions to come upon us as a nation. And I believe that's what happened here. And it's driving us to God. So what it's doing is it's separating out the sheep from the goats. Who's going to stand? Who's going to press in to God? Who's going to pull away from God? And those that are going to press in, they're drawn in more. And those that are on the edge, that are kind of out there at the edge of darkness, they're going to say, wait a minute. They're going to be pulled in to find out more about God. So it is a good thing, David said, that I was afflicted. It's a good thing that we're afflicted. And I look at our nation, going back to this whole, you know, a military spy balloon flying over our nation over the next few days, as they say.
The days of Jeremiah.
Yeah, Greg, look, we're watching our nation die. And we're watching and we're seeing how weak our nation is now and how weak our leadership is. And, you know, I'm just going to say this. You know, God could use some major catastrophe and affliction to wake America up. He loves us that much. And some of you might be saying, how could God, if God loves us, how could he do it? I'm going to say this. It is because God loves us that he allows these afflictions if we refuse to repent. Because if we refuse to repent, God will do what is necessary to spank our little bottoms, to get our attention and get us looking back toward our Father and say, please forgive me. I was wrong. I'm coming back to you. And I say, bring it on. I don't like it. But if it takes that, Greg, you know, if it takes it, then so be it. Better fill up the kingdom and get people in than to sit back and watch our nation just die. And eventually, we're going to blend into the rest of the world and die anyway before the Lord comes back. But I'd love to see this ship hold together and a revival happen before that. This may be some of the tools God's going to use to do that.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely keep our eyes on all of that.
Are we still rant and rave? I've got to come back down and become Mark again.
You got to come back.
It's time to remark.
You need to remark yourself.
All right, there we go.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, what could be happening from this Chinese balloon, Pastor Mark, is Xi Jinping could be distributing pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption, or maybe another virus.
Oh my goodness. You had to add more to it, didn't
Sorry.
You? Great. That's just, no, look, if you already couldn't sleep tonight, if I kept you up enough, rave, just then you're pacing the floors back and forth. Jesus is on the throne. That's a good point, Greg.
Yes.
But Jesus is on the throne. I mean, I guess technically what you're saying, they could release something. That's pretty freaky, but Greg, they could.
Well,
I hadn't thought about that.
Here's
you're more
the hope
devious
is,
than my mind can go.
Here's the hope. The hope is that it has aid relief in the balloon and is heading to Somalia. Because according to AP News, the U.S. is urging donors to give far more as Somalia faces a famine again.
Yeah, again. And why is this, you know, Somalia, is that all you're going to give? They're actually looking for more. The first U.S. cabinet member to visit Somalia since 2015 urged the world's distracted donors Sunday to give immediate help to a country facing deadly famine, which she calls the ultimate failure of the international community. Now, let me just back up a minute.
Yeah.
I agree that the international community needs to get involved to save people that are starving. I absolutely agree. But I disagree with the idea that there's not other factors involved. Greg, there is a worldwide effort right now to create famine. And we're watching
it take place. Absolutely.
We are watching things. They are closing down farms on purpose. This comes out of the World Economic Forum. We've been watching all these facilities that have been burning recently. Another huge egg facility just burned. I don't know if you saw it up in flames. You know the number one egg seller and producer in America is? Bill Gates. He's the number one egg producer in the United States and seller. Top. All the farm situation, again, we saw he has more farmland than anybody in America. He's the one that's pushing his fake meat, whatever that is. I don't know.
Plant-based.
Yeah.
It's horrible for your body, by the way.
Yeah, but it's even more than plant-based, Greg. They're doing this stuff where they're taking like DNA stuff and creating meat. I mean, I'm just like...
I know.
They're talking about even human stuff, and they're saying, but it's not human meat when it's made. I'm like, okay, look, this is getting too freaky for me. We're talking Soylent Green type stuff, you know, science fiction movies. But
right. This
is what's going on. The reality is that when they say this, yes, I agree that we need to be giving and we need to be helping those that are starving. Absolutely. But what drives me crazy is we see many leaders of the world forcing famine, and then they come out and say, hey, how come the world's not helping more? Well, stop taking all the food away and then help more. Again, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas, perhaps the starkest warning yet about the crisis, said excess deaths during what is now Somalia's longest drought on record will almost certainly surpass those of the famine formally declared in the country in 2011, when more than 250,000 people died. This time, the world is looking elsewhere. Many humanitarian stakeholders are looking to Ukraine and all that. But again, there's a dual thing going on here, and that is stop creating famine. And then also, yes, we need to be more involved in that. But Greg, we get back to where is this coming from? Matthew 24, what did the Lord say? In the last days, there'll be famines. And you brought this up last week. When I used to read this, I agree with what you said. I didn't picture men doing it. I didn't think it was on purpose.
Yeah.
I thought it was, wow, there's just the rain's drying up and the ground's getting hard and the crops are failing. No, it's not that. It is people saying, you will shut down 3,000 farms in Denmark starting today. You will shut down farms in America because you don't want cattle passing gas because it can hurt the environment. You will do this and that, whatever. I mean, it is like man is doing this to himself. Greg, we are self-destructing. It's not even the earth. You can blame the earth for it. It's man. Yeah. It's not climate change. It's heart change.
Yeah.
Again, away from God, that's destroying the earth right now. It drives me, again, this is one of those days where
I know. Well,
sorry.
You know, it's interesting. You know, the control that the spirit of Antichrist is assembling for the Antichrist is being cloaked in this environmental movement that has preposterous things to think that, you know, cows that pass gas is somehow bad for the environment.
Yeah.
And it just reminds me of Romans chapter 1. Those that worship the creature rather than the creator, God gives them over to a debased or a depraved mind.
Absolutely.
But again, it's one of those things, Pastor Mark, where we've read that verse for years, but really couldn't fully appreciate the gravity of what is being said in the verse until you see stuff this happen.
That's right.
Where you are literally shutting down food sources to sustain human life. That does not come from God. That doesn't come from anything godly. That is the spirit of Antichrist.
It is. And Greg, here's the thing. If you take God out of it, let's go back to Romans.
Yeah.
What happens is God said man is primary. And you do whatever has to be done to protect man, keep him healthy, keep him alive, and you do whatever. Because God says, I created the earth for man.
For man,
And all these things are a gift to man. So God didn't mess up when he made cows pass gas or anything else. So here's the bottom line. When you start worshiping the earth, here's what happens. The earth is now primary.
Yes.
And so man and all his things needing meat, needing things like food, you know, just non-essentials like food and water. Man now is lesser. The earth is greater. So man, all the things that help man must be taken out of the way so the earth can be exalted. The earth can be worshipped. The climate can be lifted up. When they're going, listen, Satan does everything the exact opposite of God. God says this, Satan says that. God said, be fruitful and multiply. Satan says, limit your kids and have abortions. I mean, everything that God says, Satan goes directly against. He said, I've made the earth for man. Let the earth supply man, use the supplies of the earth, use them. I've given them for man. And they say, no, save the supplies of the earth, get rid of the things for man and lift up the earth. Let man die. And they're trying to kill man to keep the earth alive. It is demonic and it's satanic at its root, scripturally and every other way.
Pastor Mark, why don't you cue up Matthew chapter 13 while I let our listeners and viewers know that you are enjoying Signs of the Times on WIAM-LP Knoxville. It's Friday, February 3rd. This is episode 249 of Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy that we find in the world's news. And we are in the middle of discussing articles related to pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. Heavy on the corruption as we head into this story. From WND.com, a massive meta study on mask wearing delivers a kill shot to the COVID narrative. And so maybe you can explain for us, Pastor Mark, what that means, as well as how you are applying Matthew 13, verses 13 through 16 to this story.
Yeah, again, this study here, this is the thing that's amazing to me, Greg. We now have so much scientific data to show that the lockdowns were a disaster. They should never be done again. That the shots right now should be stopped because we have too many problems with them. That the masks were a disaster and they should be stopped. The masks, they did no good.
Oh, yeah. Remember,
what's going on here?
Remember what I told you?
See,
remember what I told you?
Yeah, yeah, we're getting messed with. So
remember what I told you?
So they're trying to make us take a break. We're going to rebel against that. We're not going to take a break. We're going to keep going, and we don't do that anymore. And so anyway. But yeah,
oh my.
Isn't that interesting? It's an interesting
good
day.
Good times.
It's an interesting day.
It's good times today.
Yes, it is. But again, this whole study, Greg, here's the bottom line. The mask, I need you to hear me on this, fellow believers. The masks do no good. Listen to me again. They do no good. You're not doing any good by wearing a mask. You're not helping yourself and you're not helping others. If you are in a sterile environment and you're doing it for surgery or where no one's touching it, or whatever the case might be, it is excellent. Masks work wonderfully. They're made for the medical situation in the operating room and all that. But when it comes to life, where you take them on and off, on and off, on and off, they do zero good. The viruses are smaller than the openings in the mask, unless it's N95. And even if it's an N95, you're taking it on, off, on, off. You're putting the germs on it. You're putting the germs right back on your face.
You have to go through lots of masks.
Yeah, the bottom line is that we now know, we have enough evidence to know the masks were a failure as well. It wasn't just that it cuts down the oxygen supply to people. They said that people had lower oxygen supplies.
Absolutely.
Which they couldn't breathe well. The children were having difficulties because they couldn't see mouth movements when they were learning to speak and how to talk. So it set them back on that. And it did zero good for stopping the spread of anything. So again, listen to what this study found. This is huge. Wearing face masks, even fancier N95, has little or no effect in protecting against COVID-19 and the flu compared to not wearing one, according to a massive British meta study. And I quote, "There is uncertainty about the effects of masks," concludes a team of 12 international researchers in the study published January 30th in a peer-reviewed UK journal. Peer-reviewed. She's a lot of people looked at it. Cochrane Database of Systematic Reviews said, "Wearing masks in the community probably," now they put that word in there, "makes little or no difference to the outcome of a laboratory confirmed influenza, SARS-CoV-2, compared to not wearing a mask." An abstract of the UK study states, "Moreover, the study concludes that among medical workers, even among the robust N95 masks, they did not yield greater protection compared to more standard masks." So there wasn't that much difference between the normal mask and the N95, which might surprise people who wear the boxier masks, believing they're gaining a heightened protection from COVID. And I quote, "There were no clear differences in this study of UK, of Britain, between the use of medical surgical masks compared to N95 and P2 respirators in healthcare workers when used in routine care to reduce respiratory viral infection," the reports said. The author concluded, and I'll quote and end with this, "The pooled results of the RCT's randomized controlled trials did not show clear reduction in respiratory viral infection with the use of medical surgical masks." Now, that should solve it. It should be a done deal. I mean, look, use normal precautions. Stay away from people that are sick. Don't cough on people. Don't be coughed on. You know, it's like they said in VeggieTales. You opened up the door and influenza, right? You know? But the bottom line is, you can't live behind a mask. It has done so
much damage
to our society and the next generation. And Greg, here's what gets me. Why am I ranting again about this? Because I believe they're going to try the same thing again. There's going to be another. Listen, once this balloon goes by, there may be something else happens in America. Who knows?
Yeah.
Either way, the bottom line is there's going to be something else that's going to happen here as far as the pandemic stuff. They're already talking about it. And they're going to say, oh, time to lock down again. Time to put on masks again. Listen, it did zero good. Let's use wisdom. Let's trust in God's immunity system and live life. And yet, I'm afraid the majority of people are not going to listen to this. And again, it's one of those things that no matter how many facts and stats you get in, they're going to say misinformation. I don't even know her. I don't even know who she is. But I know this. Facts speak for themselves. They speak for themselves.
Yes. Did you read Matthew, by the way? Because I totally...
Not yet.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
That's okay.
You're holding my feet to the fire today.
Yeah, I am.
All right, here we go. "Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see." Now, again, the parables aren't the issue, but he's describing the state of the people in his day, Greg. They were spiritually blind. And listen to what it says. "Seeing the people, the people seeing do not see. Hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and will not perceive." That is exactly what's happening. I don't care what you show them. I don't care what they hear. Everybody closes their mouth, those monkeys with their hands over their eyes, hands over their ears, hands over their mouth, and nobody's saying anything or watching or listening or doing anything. Again, drives me nuts.
Yeah, but you want to know what? You bring up a great point by reading that scripture verse, Pastor Mark, because Jesus himself can relate to our own earthly frustration that we're experiencing right
now.
Because the Lord had wept and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you would have just known this your day.
That's right.
They did know. It was prophesied, just like the things that we're going through right now for end times prophecy. We are going through. They are coming to fruition.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like people aren't seeing. In Jesus' day, the Messiah, I'm here, he says.
Yeah, yeah. I know it really is. There's a blindness. On the earth, there's a political blindness. I'll say that. And what I mean by that is people take their stand of what they believe and they won't look at anything that doesn't fit into their political mode, whatever it is. They won't look because it goes against what they would vote for and what they stand for. But then there's the spiritual level that goes above that, which there is a blindness that doesn't allow them to look or see what they're missing. And that's what drives me crazy because our eyes have been opened.
Yeah. I'll submit to you this, and I think I've mentioned this before in the past, that politics is nothing more than your spiritual and religious and your close to the vest life believing beliefs played out in the public legislation, through whatever.
It is. You're right.
And that's all that politics really are. And I think that's important to understand only from the standpoint of really grasping that we are in the middle of a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what this is.
Yes.
And it's coming with different names and different monikers and different tags. And whether it's the left or the right or conservative or liberal or Democrat or Republican or whatever the case may be, that's the bottom line. This is a spiritual battle. Those that we are blessed to have their eyes opened by the Lord and the power of His Holy Spirit can see the things happening. And I think there are different levels of blindness.
Yes, absolutely.
Where you've got some people that are awakened to the things that we've been talking about, but have not recognized their need for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So there's different levels there, too.
You're right, Greg. There's bad politics and there's good politics. And really, good politics are those that truly are standing with the truth of God's word and living it out. Bad politics, remember, are those things that latch on and suck your blood life out of you. And that's what we have to put up with.
The politics.
The politics, yes.
So
it's like, take them off your dog, get them off of you.
Western Journal. I think this is what you're talking about because you've got Psalm 119:67 reference for this one, Pastor Mark.
You're going to make me look it up, aren't you? But the people at home can look these things up, Greg. I mean, this is for them, not me. But no, that's okay. Hold me accountable. Yeah. Here we go.
Top expert sounds the alarm, calls for immediate suspension of all mRNA vaccines.
Yeah, again, we're hearing this from more and more doctors, Greg.
Yes.
This one's from Israel now. Retzef Levy. Which again, Levi, again, would be a sign of a Levite. Again, carry down like the Kohen or the Kohanim.
Yeah.
That's the descendants of Aaron. Levi would be those that are the Levites. It said, Retzef Levy, an expert in risk management relating to the health field, is calling for the immediate suspension of all COVID-19 messenger RNA vaccines. He's not the only one. There's a lot of people doing this. After performing a risk analysis of the vaccines, Levy, a professor in the Massachusetts Institute of Technology Sloan School of Management. Yeah, imagine having to write that every day. Where are you from? Just trust me. Well, it's MIT. It's MIT.
There you go.
Revealed his recommendation and supporting evidence of a video posted to Twitter on Sunday. By the way, Greg, this is a professor at MIT. This is not some guy in his basement, you know, wearing aluminum hats.
Right.
Let's make sure everybody knows that.
Yeah.
As of Monday afternoon, the video had more than 1.1 million views. I'm sure it has a lot more now. I quote, I'm filming this video to share my strong conviction that at this point in time, all COVID mRNA vaccination programs should stop immediately, he said. He believes the vaccines have completely failed to live up to the promise of the efficacy given by the health officials and vaccine manufacturers. Furthermore, he asserted there was mounting and indisputable evidence that the shots cause an unprecedented level of harm, including the deaths of young people. And this is what's happening. We're seeing more and more young people die from this. It's causing myocarditis and all kinds of other conditions.
Strokes.
Yes, and pericarditis and everything else. And so, you know, basically you can only hide it so long. Now so many people are being affected that you have to come out and say, look, something's going on. Look, 5-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 6-year-olds don't have heart attacks, but they are now.
Yeah.
High school students don't have heart attacks and strokes, but they are now. And for anybody to try to say, this is normal, it's always happened. No, it has not. This is not normal. This is brand new over the last couple of years. And we need to figure out what's going on. All he's saying is the same thing I've said forever. Let's just put on the brakes. Let's all talk about it, do some research, and then if this is a great thing, start it back up. But let's find out what's going on here. And again, I think the evidence is showing that it's not a great thing at this point. It's time for everybody to wake up.
Yeah. You know, I'm reminded with several of these articles that we've discussed today One of the big things that happened in World War II under the spirit of Antichrist was leading the Germans through Hitler to experiment on the Jews.
Yeah.
Physical human experimentation.
That's right. That's right.
That's really no different in the ultimate goal there.
Yeah.
In what's happening now.
Yeah.
We've been experimented upon.
Yeah. Well, Greg, this may shock some of our listeners, but it's still not been approved yet by the FDA.
Right.
They said, but yes, it has. No,
it has
been
not.
Approved under the Emergency Act,
yeah.
But it has not been approved under non-emergency, where you can do all your studies, all your tests, and get approved. So what's happening is they're still pushing an experimental shot that we now know is causing problems, and everybody needs to put the brakes on and be honest about it and say, what are we doing? This has got to stop because we're hurting people. And again, I mean, even infertility, it's causing all kinds of things. I mean, there are going to be people now that won't be grandparents because of this. There'll be people now that won't have kids because of this. This has got to stop.
It's huge. It's bigger than what we understand right now, and it'll continue to reveal itself.
Yes.
The next story, Pastor Mark, you referenced Romans chapter 1. I won't ask you to turn there because I know that you're,
yes.
I know that your fingers are cramping.
That's right.
Right now. Ex-psychic's alarming warning to parents about witchcraft, evil, and the cult, quote unquote, it shows how deceptive the devil is.
Yeah.
Well, good for an ex-psychic for coming out and speaking the truth.
Yeah, you think she'd have seen this coming?
Let me see.
Is there a button there?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, let me read some. Yeah. So once overtaken by the occult, an ex-psychic is speaking out about the cultural's obsession with crystals, herbs, and other items tied to witchcraft. Romans 1 comes into this because as people turn away from God, they worship the earth.
Yeah.
Jen Niza, a Christian who now shares her testimony on social media and through her new podcast, Ex-Psychic Saved, I like that, you know, warned about young people. Yeah, really. Warned about young people's increased
UPS. Use.
Yes, there you go. You. Well,
No, that's not.
EPS.
EPS.
She could have been. XPS. It should have been an ESP. She could have reversed X.
Okay.
No,
all right.
Say, okay, we're wasting
digress.
Time. Yeah, but that would have been cute. Anyway, warned about young people's increase in such tools. This is so new age, she says. And yes, it is. Using crystals for protection, to ward off evil, for enlightenment, to bring about psychic awareness, to place on chakras, thinking you're going to open them up and use the energy from the crystals, she told FaithWire. The whole thing is relying on energy with crystals. Again, this reminds me of Santa Fe, Greg, because that's exactly what they did when I was there.
Now, is that the whole meal or the crystal chicks or?
Yeah, this is the actual stone. Yes.
Oh,
the actual stone. That's right.
Oh, it's not the crystal.
No. These are the rose quartz pendants and all these things. It's really scary, she said, noting the use of such tools is growing. She says that, again, about 44% of young people between ages of 13 and 25 are engaged with herbs and crystals as spiritual practice. Shockingly, 21% do so every week. So the numbers of the ex-medium have them concerned. She says, I'm heartbroken because it just shows how deceptive the devil is and how he's not even hiding. These kids are so exposed to witchcraft these days, and they're really looking for something. They're really looking to feel better. They're really looking for identity. They're looking for love. They're looking for all the things that only God can do. And so, again, you know, this is so true. I watched this for years in Santa Fe, and, of course, you see it moving across the country. And I just, what are you going to say? This is a sneaky way to bring it in. It becomes a fad rather than witchcraft, like we know that it is.
Well, you know, the story that we had earlier about more people being open to God, when you think about more people in general, because of the last 3 years, are wanting to feel more control in their lives, more surety in their lives, more stability in their lives.
Yeah.
And they're going to reach out for whatever.
Yeah.
So I could see an increase in the occult, in all of this stuff, you know, as a result of these
things.
And,
Greg, we used to have a clear just understanding in America about what was right and wrong, witchcraft, non-witchcraft. So we're so, I mean, listen, it's gotten so weird now.
Evil has become good.
Our karma has run over our dogma. And so, of course, that's exactly what's happened. And so it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. It's going to continue to get worse.
That was good. Okay. That was really good. I'm always in awe of you, Pastor Mark.
Right.
Fox News. First Baptist Church is facing a backlash on biblical sexuality pledge for congregants.
Yeah.
So, I mean, join the church and you got to pledge what?
Well, again, this isn't a bad thing.
But when you're making someone on an earthly level?
Right. No, you shouldn't make them pledge. I guess I was looking at more of what they're getting mad about. Okay. Let me read the article. Sure. A Florida church came under fire for a statement confirming beliefs that marriage is between a man and a woman. So how dare you teach something that Jesus did? Who do you think you are, church? You think you're messengers of God? Who do you think you are? The First Baptist Church of Jacksonville was spotlighted on Sunday after local media reports caught wind of the church's biblical sexuality statement set to take effect in March. Now, I don't think you should force people. I know what they're trying to do. They're making a statement, but you're right. You shouldn't force people to say, I'm not going to join the church if I don't, whatever. But we should believe this. The First Baptist statement on biblical sexuality detailed the church's support for binary gender roles, as well as the belief that marriage is only between a man and a woman, which was originally approved in October. Now, not that a marriage between a man and a woman approved in October, but at that church. As a member of First Baptist Church, I believe that God creates people in his image as either male or female, and that this creation is a fixed matter of human biology. I agree with that, too. Not an individual choice. I believe marriage is instituted by God, not government. It is between one man, one woman, and the only context for sexual desire and expression. Now, again, Greg, you're right. They shouldn't do this as a thing, I think, to make the church join. However, I think in marriage counseling, that might not be a bad statement in your forum. You know, if you're going to do marriage counseling, do you believe that it's between a man and a woman? Maybe. But again, the backlash grew, leading to an open mic event at the church to listen to and discuss concerns from audience members. One included a queer woman named Katie who opposed the statement and condemned the church for supporting it. Here's the bottom line. Again, I don't think we should get in people's face and try to make some point, but we have to stand on truth. I think the thing is, if we're asked about it, we stand on the truth. I think to go out and try to, you know, create, I'm not saying they were going out to create a problem, but sometimes I think the church can bring problems on themselves they don't need to bring on themselves. Jesus didn't walk around and say, hey, I want to, you know, like agitate some people. He just kind of lived his life. And when it came to him, he spoke the truth of God. And let me just now do that same thing here. I'm not going to judge the church on what they did, but I think they, I don't know that they needed to do this. They may be creating problems they didn't need.
Right.
But I will say this. The bottom line is this whole question about male and female. Jesus very clearly, and the Bible very clearly says there is male and female, and you can't change that. And how do we know that? Because look at the chromosomes. Every male child has X and Y chromosomes. Every female only has X chromosomes. It's not hard to figure out scientifically or whatever. But because we've thrown science out the window, although there seems to be this big thing today about science, science, science. But when you bring the true science up to something that opposes the people that are crying science, 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 then they throw it out. And they say, oh, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. No, this is emotion, emotion, emotion. They're judging all this on, I believe. I believe a man can be a woman. I believe a woman can be a man. Again, it reminds me of the days of Judges where everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And the bottom line is we are created either with X and Y chromosomes, which makes you a man, or X and X chromosomes, which makes you a woman. It doesn't change. And there's no surgery that'll change the chromosomes. You can change your outward appearance, but on the inside, you're still a man or you're still a woman. It doesn't change. And that's why we see such incredibly high suicide rates among this community, Greg, because they are torn. And they believe that if they can just get everybody to accept their viewpoint, that somehow it'll relieve that pressure and they won't have that. It doesn't relieve the pressure because nature is screaming on the inside, you're a man or you're a woman. You cannot escape it. And trying to change it by cosmetics or surgery or politically, it doesn't change the truth. We could right now go to Congress and vote that mankind is not mankind, the earth is not the earth, and we all agree. That doesn't change the fact that mankind is mankind and the earth is the earth. You cannot change it by emotions, by your feelings, by your political views, even taking bulldozers and trying to change the surface of the earth to show that it's not the earth. It's still the earth. It's just we messed it up with bulldozers. So they're messing people's lives up with bulldozers in surgery rooms and everything. And I feel for them. My heart breaks. Yeah. And if we don't love them enough to say, look, God loves you how you are, come to God, bring him your concerns. Jesus died for you, and he's got a purpose as to why you're here, and they have hope, and they have life eternal if they come to Jesus Christ.
The Bible tells us that Satan is the author of confusion. So knowing that, Pastor Mark, is it possible that when a person is confused about their sexuality, that that's a spiritual issue, or are there chemical things going on, or what is all of your research and knowledge, and especially what God's word is saying about how he created us?
What's going on there? There's two sides to this. There is a physiological side, and I'm no expert, I'm no doctor, but I have, again, researched this to some degree because of looking into it. Greg, we all go through a certain phase where we question our sexuality. All children do. What am I? How am I supposed to function? We're confused. We don't understand it yet. And it doesn't mean that suddenly little boys think they're little girls or little girls think they're little boys. I'm not saying that. But there's a time there where we're formulating, our mind is formulating, here's who I am, how do I process all this? And that's why in a normal environment with a mom and dad and a normal society, you go the right way without struggle, okay? But you see those that grow up in an altered situation at their home. Maybe it's a sexual abuse situation. Maybe it's a home that wasn't structured properly. There's typically, when you get down to the root of it, you'll find that oftentimes there's something that happened in those formative years that influenced them. I can't say it's 100%,
right?
But that's a big part of it. And so if you go to the formative years and you manipulate, that is why you watch Satan working and trying to go to younger and younger children and talk to them about showing them all these things about transsexual or bisexual or whatever. He's trying to get them in the formative years because he knows that's when their mind is trying to formulate
watch
everything.
Watch this drag show.
Yes. So there is a physiological, earthly answer to this, that if it's done the wrong way in certain children, it can lead them the wrong direction. But if you leave them alone, most of them grow out of that. And then they come back to them and go, wait a minute, this is who I am, and they get settled on it. And so there is that side of it, but it's blended with the spiritual because Satan knows that. So he attacks at that age. He attacks at that time. He takes advantage of broken homes, of broken lives and all this, and then brings confusion. Again, could there be people that have maybe less testosterone as a man or maybe too much estrogen as a man or as a woman, maybe more testosterone? Those scientifically, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't.
There could be.
There could be
some
hormone imbalances.
There could be things there. But it doesn't change who you are. And if you get the right influence and the right direction, you'll still choose the right thing and you'll naturally flow in the direction you need to flow. What's happening here is that man and Satan are manipulating people and we're seeing this disastrous outcome. And it's becoming, it's the end thing, right? This is what's supposed to be until you get older. Like the video you sent to me about this poor young girl that had all this surgery done when she was in the confused years earlier. And now she's realizing I'm a woman and I wish I could go back and get my body back and I wish I could change. It's disastrous, Greg. They're children. They can't make their own decisions. The mind doesn't even fully develop until the 20s.
25.
Yes, but at least, I think it's 25 for men, maybe a little earlier for
women.
Maybe
a little earlier for
women.
But here's
the thing. Yeah. We should at least leave them alone and don't let them make these kind of decisions until at least they're legal, age 18. If they get 18 and they want to have some surgery, then you know what? They have the right to do that. But we need to protect our children as a society and make laws that say no one can touch anyone until they're 18 and old enough to think and not be a child and confused and developing, not even their mind coming together and the lobes joined, which happens in the 20s. We are creating a disaster for their lives. No wonder they're killing themselves. Can you imagine changing your body as a little kid and then growing up and realizing that was the worst mistake of my life and I have to live the rest of my life in this altered state that I didn't really know what I was doing? No wonder people are killing themselves. My heart goes out to these, my heart breaks for them.
Yeah.
And we need to step up as the adults in the room and stop it.
You know, just reminds me of what Jesus said, better that a millstone be hung around your neck than you cause one of these little ones to stumble.
Absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
I don't know what the full implication of that verse is in terms of the context of what Jesus was saying, but I would imagine that you could apply that verse to, encouraging a child to go in a different direction than the direction that God has laid out for them biologically.
That's right.
At
That's
birth.
Right. That's right.
He created them. That person is his creation.
Right.
Custom made. One of a kind.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And there's two aspects of that, Greg. One is, again, in the immediate context.
Yes.
Let's just kind of unwrap this.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the immediate context, he's referring to those that would lead them away from Jesus Christ as their Savior. He said, for those who believe in me, okay? If you cause them to stumble, for those who believe in me. So that's the immediate context. But there's multiple layers to the scripture. There's the immediate context, which, of course, is the main focus of that. But then there's biblical principles.
Yes.
And the biblical principle comes into play here. You better not stumble little children that are trying to find their right direction as God has created them and God is leading them. And God created a boy to be a boy, a girl to be a girl. He's leading them in the direction they need to go. And when you step in and do that, I believe it does apply. Better a millstone hung around your neck. And listen, you can get mad at me. People can get mad, whoever says they do whatever. But one day we're all going to stand before Jesus Christ, and there's not going to be any excuses. It's going to be you and the Lord face to face. Every person, the Bible says, will do that. And depending on the decision you've made is going to determine your eternity and your reward or loss of reward. And I know this, I'm not going to do anything where the Lord makes that kind of warning. I'm staying far away from it. And woe to those people that do it. I fear for them.
Yeah. You know, and again, it just kind of reminds me of the kind of the theme a little bit today, you know, talking about, you know, the prophets in the Old Testament and the things that they had to declare to the people because the people had turned their back on God and were doing sinful things and worshiping idols and really not unlike of what's happening today, you know, and the prophets had to tell them the painful truth. And if they didn't repent, this is the direction we're going to go. These guys were not popular.
Yeah.
And we understand this message isn't popular. So think about this for a minute. No one likes to be unpopular. So if someone is declaring something that God is saying in his word and knows that what is being said is going to be unpopular, don't you think that God is real and there's an influence of God through his Holy Spirit on that person that's speaking God's truth?
Yeah.
Because it's not about the person that's speaking. That person is nothing more than a conduit for God to speak through that person. It's God the one, it's God is the one that cares about you that's hearing this message that might be offended by this message. God wants you offended in the sense to wake up to what you're doing and where you're going in the wrong direction.
That's right.
God wants you headed towards him.
That's right. In relation to scripture, Greg, that's 100% true.
Yes.
But there are those who outside of scripture make just as strong of a stand for things that are evil and they'll fight. So it doesn't verify that it's true because of the strong stand. But in a lot of scripture, if it lines up with scripture, absolutely.
Yeah. Things that are speaking against what the world
Why would you bring that trouble on yourself? Now, some people want to do that just because that's their personality. But when it comes to standing for God, I mean, why would you want to do that? It's like saying the disciples, they stood so much for the Lord, they put them all to death. Jesus stood so much for the Father, they put him to death. So the reality is for us as believers, if we love God and love people, we have to speak the truth. And that means that people, a lot of people aren't going to like us. But we need to do it so they might have the hope of salvation if they repent.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Well, Pastor Mark, let's get to our good news of the day, because fortunately we've got some.
Yes.
This is from ChristianHeadlines.com. Five-year-old preacher. Wow.
Yeah.
So is this Asa? Was Asa?
I forget
how old was Asa?
I don't remember how old he was.
Five-year-old preacher shares the Bible and leads worship on the Jennifer Hudson Show.
Yeah, it was so cute. I went and saw the video. But
did you? Okay.
Yeah, so he's Jennifer Hudson, the award-winning singer and host of the daytime talk show, the Jennifer Hudson Show, recently hosted a five-year-old preacher's kid known for a viral video of himself baptizing his Paw Patrol toy. Greg, it was so cute. Let me go on and read, and I'll tell you what happened. I watched it. Yeah. Hudson introduced Luke Tillman as a preacher and shared the video of him dressed up singing. He was like dressed up in this robe that he made, singing Take Me to the Water in a bathtub and then baptizing his stuffed Paw Patrol dog named Chase. So he got in the tub,
Precious.
Greg. He did it. He said, I baptize you in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He took his Paw Patrol dog, put him under the water, and brought him back up. It was the cutest thing in the world. Tillman, and he sang that song, you know, Take Me to the Water.
Yeah.
Tillman told Hudson he wants to grow up to be a pastor just like his father. He said his father baptized him at 4, although he'd been asking since he was 2 years old.
Mm.
And I quote, you want to know what I'm going to be when I grow up? Tillman asked Hudson. The 5-year-old said, going to be a pastor and a Christian. Or a 4-year-old, five now. Pastor and a Christian, he continued. It was so cute. According to the Christian Post, Tillman's father, Ezra Tillman, is the pastor of First Trinity Missionary Baptist Church in Flint, Michigan. He is married and has 3 other children besides Luke. When Hudson asked Ezra how he felt about his son wanting to follow in his footsteps, he asserted it was a blessing. I'm thinking now the pressure is always on preacher's kids and the whole development of him and desire to want to do it and genuinely want to do it as a pastor is a blessing. Now, listen to what he says here, Greg. This was amazing to me. He said, this year is 20 years for me preaching. And he said, my son preached to 20 million people by video in 1 week.
That's true.
He said, I haven't reached that in 20 years and I'm happy about it.
Wow.
His son reached more people. And he literally said, you know, I baptized, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, being a witness for Jesus, baptized Paw Patrol. 20 million people have seen it now worldwide of this little boy. And he's like, you know what? He's reaching the entire world with the gospel. It truly was amazing. I mean, it's just the cutest thing. And I'm sure that you'll go out there online and see it now. The people will. Tillman later recited, the little boy recited John 3:16. You know, for God so loved the world, you know, they gave his only begotten son. When Hudson was asked about his favorite Bible verse, he said 3:16 is his favorite Bible verse. And Greg, get this. at the end of the video, they brought out all, they bought him, I guess the people there at the studio, whatever, they got him the entire Paw Patrol crew, all of them in
Very
Paw Patrol.
Cool.
Brought us a big gift and gave it to him and asked him what he's going to do. He said, I'm going to baptize all of them. All of them. I'm baptizing them all. He wants them to be in heaven.
Oh, man.
How cute that is. And
that's
again,
right.
That's our heart. We want you to be in heaven. And so if you receive Jesus Christ and come to him right now, confess your sins, turn to him, ask him to forgive you, he will forgive you and secure your eternity in heaven. And that's really why we do this show.
Yeah.
We want you to be in heaven with us and Jesus Christ.
Amen. You can enjoy more of Rant and Rave, Pastor Mark, when you subscribe to the podcast of Signs of the Times. Just go to thewaymedia.net for all things Signs of the Times related. And we'll be back here next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.